This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Hello, I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton. I'm a board-certified internist and primary care physician. I am the medical director and owner of Shelton Hospitalist Group. Welcome to the checkup on WCLK. I'll discuss important health issues facing all of us using my own experience and that of my guests to give you knowledge you can use to lead a healthier, happier life. My guest today is fitness trainer, Mr. Carlos Jordan.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shelton, for having me on board.
Yes, sir. Always enjoy you, brother. Always. What I want to talk about today is interesting. You know, as we enter into these the holiday period where we love to eat, and typically mine starts around Halloween when the candy starts coming in the office and I'm tempted. The candy, the sweets. It's followed by my favorite holiday, which is Thanksgiving, where we overeat. Then the whole month of December, you think of all the Christmas parties and Christmas candy, cookies. And then you have New Year's Eve celebrations. Then it extends all the way to the Super Bowl party. So we're all the way into February.
Wow.
When I start thinking about my health and fitness for the year. So I really want to focus on that, making our New Year's resolutions work. And how do we get through these holidays eating healthy? Today on the checkup with Dr. Courtney Shelton, we are going to discuss obesity and holiday fitness and nutrition with none other than Mr. Carlos Jordan, our expert fitness trainer. Mr. Jordan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in fitness training, and why is it so important to you?
A little about myself. I tell you what, I've been in the industry now for 25 years, and I'm very passionate about fitness. I'm so passionate about it that I have one of the biggest natural shows here in Atlanta, Georgia. I do it once a year. It's a big event. People come from all over the world. So that's one of the things how I got started in it. I was working for an attorney by the name of David Wolf. I always had to give him his props. He used to play for Georgia, University of Georgia, and he got extremely out of shape because he focused so much on his career. And they had a class reunion coming up, and he didn't want to go with the Dunlap disease, which means his stomach was over his belt.
His belly Dunlap?
Yes. So I took him on. He had to be in shape in 6 weeks. This man came down 10% on his body fat within that six weeks.
That's amazing.
He dropped 15 pounds, and he looked amazing after that. And he asked me, what was I wasting my time working for him for? And wow. I started working as a part-time trainer. 30 days later, I was training at least 45 to 50 people a day, and I haven't looked back since.
That's amazing. That is really amazing. Why is it so important to you? What do you really get out of helping people?
Oh, man, I tell you, some of the things that I hear – with people. You never know what people are going through. I found that out. And you never can judge the book by the cover. People walk around jovial and act like they're happy, but a lot of them are really miserable. I found out a lot of people that have let themselves go don't even change clothes in the mirror.
Wow.
They wait until they get all their clothes on, to put their makeup on. They feel extremely, have a body dysmorphia that is ugly, not appealing to them. Their confidence level is down to all times low. It's giving back, because when people get in there and say, you saved my life, you gave me a new life, you know, it's almost, if I wasn't such a man, I would probably cry myself. but it makes me emotional knowing about these people and what they're going through.
It's amazing. That's part of what's so great about being a physician as well. It's very similar when you're helping people get better and making them feel better and feel better inside and out. It's amazing, too. Obesity is so common. It's so serious and so costly. More than one-third of adults are obese. Two-thirds of adults are overweight. with an annual medical cost of $147 billion in 2008. African Americans have the highest rates of obesity, 47%. Hispanics, 42%, followed by whites, 34%. What do you think some of the factors are that contribute to those racial differences in obesity?
For African Americans and Hispanic, African Americans typically like a woman that is a thicker woman. They don't like a really small woman. And all the way that we grew up in the South here, it's most food are fried, baked. It's not really baked. It's mostly fried, a lot of sugar, a lot of carbohydrate. You know, like how you feel out of Thanksgiving. You feel almost lethargic from eating all that starch. You feel tired. You don't have much energy, but you feel so full, you know, it's leave no room for nothing else. But right. Another factor is that we are so hung up on trying to find the American dream, chase the big houses and the cars and, you know, nice things. And when your health is just put on the back burner, that's one of the biggest reasons for African-Americans not being in the shape, because the vehicle that they walk around on with the 2 feet is the less important vehicle. The vehicle that they drive is the most important vehicle, unfortunately. So people equate those things with success, but they don't understand that your illness is less expensive than your wellness. So if you spend money on your wellness, just like, you know, open heart surgery is what? What would that cost?
And that might be a $150,000 hospital bill by the time you leave.
Wow. What's the aftercare after that?
Aftercare is lifelong. It's very expensive drug regimen, cardiac rehab, and even some of the surgical procedures and non-surgical procedures that they do for your heart, sometimes they have to be repeated.
And that's sad, because a lot of stuff that happened to people today could be prevented. And just taking your health more with more pride and say, hey, I'm going to at least do something for my health 2 to 3 times a week.
It's like they say, some brothers take better care of their cars than they do their bodies. You see them out there shining those rims up, but they don't get to that gym. But it's amazing. It's amazing. Well, we're in the middle of Christmas. Isn't just a couple weeks. And one of the challenges is always, how do I stay on point or get on point? You know, because so many of us probably we wait till New Year's to make resolutions. But right now, during this holiday season, what can we do to get through this, to prevent this major weight gain? You know, because I tell you, from October, from Halloween, I fall off. I get one Snickers and now I'm craving that sugar. And then Thanksgiving Day comes, and here's the sweet potato pie, and it just doesn't stop. And then really, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, then all those football games and the Super Bowl, it's mid-February,
wow.
But 10 pounds later.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you would take the days off when you say holidays and do a holiday, it would combat a lot of that. If you would eat healthy up until the holiday Christmas, and you would do Christmas, and you would do the day Thanksgiving, or you would do the day Halloween, instead of taking it from holiday, because their candy is still left, you eating all the way up until Halloween. If there's Christmas holidays, you eating up until Christmas holidays.
The next
okay,
holiday.
Here we got things. You know, you got all these things that people do the days instead of a day.
That's good. And that goes to my next question. When I think about when we have cheat days or just a cheat meal.
Cheat meal, yes, sir.
You know, and a lot of times, I use that sometimes in my patients' motivation. Well, just take one day to cheat. And really, what do you think about that? Should it be just one?
I disagree with one day. I agree with a cheat meal. I think a cheat meal is like getting a paycheck. You know, you pay yourself that meal. You don't get two paychecks. You get one paycheck, so you have a proportion size meal that you want. You don't sit there and overeat. Whatever you order and it comes that way, you don't go back and get a second. So that way you have rewarded yourself from being healthy the whole time, just like going to work. You get rewarded mostly on Friday or every 2 weeks by your paycheck, but you had to work up to that check.
Right.
So to do the same thing when it comes to a meal.
So just have a cheat day or
cheat
a meal.
A meal.
So Christmas Day meal, Christmas dinner.
I know it's hard, but you know, mm-hmm. when you start thinking about the things that happens when you don't take care of your body, the biggest fear for me is being codependent on someone to take care of me. Mm. You know, I would prefer that my kids visit me, not take care of me.
Right.
So when it comes to that, and then I prefer to be to oversee what happens to them in life, not short my life, not being able to be there for them.
How important is meal prep and planning? And what are some good examples of that?
Meal prep is so important. Because if you don't have the food, when you start craving food, you're going to get the next best thing. And what is close, and most time people have time constraints. So they don't really have time to go to different places or order different places. Luckily today, they do have a lot of restaurants that go up that do still bake, grill, and boil your food. But meal prep will save you a lot of money. It will save you a lot of heartache when it comes to choosing your food and knowing what goes into your food. Because you prep your food, you know exactly what season is going in, what kind of sauce is going in it. So when you don't, you got to get it as is.
When my wife is training and she's in the middle of preparing for a show, sometimes she orders meals by the box. And how effective is that, do you think?
By the box? You're talking about when they bring it to a package?
When they bring the packages, yes.
I think it's very effective because the food is fresh. And then you got control of what goes into your food. You tell whoever your food prep person what do you eat, what you eat, and what you can't have, and how you can almost literally tell them how you want to prepare or what kind of seasons they can use.
What are some more strategies to help people stay compliant and avoid those temptations? What other things would you recommend?
The things are given to you got to find things that are naturally sweet. If you got a craving for a chocolate bar, you got to find the next best thing to a chocolate bar. Since personally, I don't have those, you know, sweet cravings. I can't tell you. I have a girlfriend that has a sweet addiction. She has sugar addictions.
Mm.
So, and she wants to compete.
Cakes.
And she loves cakes. She loves cookies. And right. She's luckily she has really great genetics. It haven't affected her a whole lot. But I don't look at the external part of it. I look at what she's doing to the internal part.
That's right. That's
because
right.
She's at the point now that she's older and things do affect you a lot different.
When sometimes I've often heard, like at restaurants, you know, we order appetizers. You know, you have appetizers and a couple of drinks, and you've had all the calories you really need for that meal. And then here comes the meal, and we're forced to eat the meal, and we're ordering desserts.
Mm.
You know, that's one of the big things I see in people need to really try to avoid appetizers if you can.
If you can. If you get your metabolism where it's so high, if you're doing your cardio during the week, you're doing weight resistance training at least 3 days a week, and this is your seventh day that you haven't cheated, if you take that one meal, and sometime that one meal will catapult your metabolism and rev it up higher because you tricked it. You gave it something different. It responds differently. It's not going to make you gain that much weight because when sign is over, you start back your same regimen Monday. So that meal that you ate is not going to be detrimental to your health because it's just that one meal. So, but you just can't do it all the time.
Right.
You can't. You can have those one meals, the appetizer, and two drinks, and start back the next week, and it won't affect you that much.
If you just joined us, the checkup on WCLK 91.9, Dr. Shelton with the checkup, we are talking about holiday eating, weight loss, and obesity with expert fitness trainer, Mr. Carlos Jordan. When you're hanging out, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of hanging out over these next couple weeks and parties and Christmas. What strategies do you use then to stay on point?
One good strategy. Most people like to drink during the holidays.
Right.
And when your glass is empty, people, especially if you're around people that drink, you feel like you have to drink. I find that you make people think you're drinking. You get cranberry juice, look like wine. Get water in a glass that with the lime in it. It makes them think that you're still drinking. You feel like you're still being a part of the atmosphere because you're partaking in different food, and they think the alcohol. Once the eating is over, mainly a lot of people pick up their weight from alcohol. It's not so much the sweets.
Especially beer. Beer and liquor all have a lot
beer
of calories.
And liquor, yes, sir.
I know one a friend of mine, he good trainer and works out quite a bit. He always eats before he goes to a party. Wherever he's going to go and he's in the middle of training, he won't eat. He'll eat at home and then, like you said, just have a glass that may have the appearance of alcohol. So mm-hmm. That's a really good strategy.
That's smart.
What suggestions do you give your clients during the cold weather season? Because, you know, often, you know, when it gets cold, we kind of want to stay at home, stay warm. Some people are drinking hot cocoa, and, they, you know, people tend to eat more when they're indoors, especially in the wintertime. What are some ways that you – how do you handle that? How do you coach your clients, both who are in fitness and just, you know, your average day people that are working out?
Doc, my competitors and my average people – not average people – for one, and I don't start my clients from a physical standpoint. I start building it up mentally, because if I'm able to change your mindset and not think you make you think like the rest of the world thinks, or the people that are obese, and we are a partnership. I am your co-pilot. You are the pilot.
Right.
So if you drive in the ship and I'm over here giving you directions and you do just the opposite, you not only disrespect yourself, you disrespect me. Because at the end of the day, I put more time in my people than they pay for. So you're pretty much obligated. I'm pretty much obligated to keep you on your transformation. I don't think about the clock. I think about your what we're doing and our goals. And I make them aware of that. I say, look, this is where we're at, and this is what I want to do. But if you're not that person, I have other trainers. Other trainers that will allow you to do all the things that you want to do to get to where you want to get. Me, I have a system. And if my system doesn't work for you, I get it, because it's not about the money for me. It's about me feeling you feeling accomplished and me feeling accomplished. I don't like taking people money unless we are accomplishing goals. I've been in it so long now that it's just difficult to just keep watching a person do the same old thing.
How do you get Miss Smith off that couch during the winter, and she's just bundled up on that blanket, and she's not coming out? But what do we do for her?
One good thing about me, Doc, I'm a communicator. I don't have to be on your time clock or be being paid. I'm gonna text. I'm gonna call. I'm gonna do something out the blue. I'm gonna be like, hey, what you doing? Okay, if you ain't doing this, make sure you doing this, that, and the other. Hey, get your cardio in. Hey, we made great progress. Don't go backwards. So I'm always somewhere in the head. I have people call me that's not even currently training me, that's out of state. They will call the gym and say, man, I just need to hear your voice
that's
to keep
awesome.
Get me back on track.
Right, right.
Because that's the thing. I say, if I can change your mindset, I can change your life.
As New Year's approaches, you know, that's always when the gym, January, February, gym is loaded. Come March, it's back to, it empties out. As people move toward New Year's Day and start making resolutions of weight loss and fitness and eating right, how do we get people to stick to their goals beyond that first, you know, 4 weeks of the gym?
You know, I think what happened with people, they make their goals so extreme, and they go in with all these big ideas like this stuff is going to happen overnight, and it doesn't happen overnight. And you trying to eat clean starting out so fast. I'm just going to drop this. I'm going to start out like this. I'm going to do this. And your workout's so extreme. You're so sore because you haven't worked that vehicle in so long. And it feel like, man, this is miserable.
Right.
I haven't worked out, because a lot of them start out wrong. And it's all about the leadership you start out with. If you start out with a leader that's killing you when you first start out, you're going to be ready to get out of the gym.
Right.
So it's like I said, the first thing is changing their mindset. Them know we're working towards a goal. Giving them a goal. Giving them a vision of themselves, and you giving them a vision for what you can do. It's a lot of time you paint a vision for a person, then they got something to work towards. And this, you got to have them accountable. So you got to measure them. You got to make sure you take some before and after picture, do some comparison. They need to see the changes they're making. And it keeps a lot of motivated. And one thing that's important is a great supportive environment. Got to have those things.
A good team.
Good team.
When you're at your gym, when you're training with your clients, Do you train them individually? Do you train them in groups? And what do you find most effective?
I particularly like groups. I like groups because it become a support unit. One-on-one is, you know, it's okay. I prefer for a person to spend less money and get more time in the gym. So it's not about the money. I think when you walk in, especially walking to my gym, it's like you coming home because everybody hugs everybody and everybody knows everybody's name. And when you've been missing for a while, you'll hold accountable. Where you been? What you been doing? And this ain't even coming from the trainer. This coming from the people in the gym.
That's right.
That was make it special that you got everybody that's working for the same common cause and nobody wants to look bad for nobody. Everybody's trying to make, let me do this for the people around because everybody's making changes.
And during New Year's, if when the weather's bad, I can't get out, what are some of the things that we can recommend to our listeners to do, things they can do at home, simple things? Or, you know, sometimes I have patients that might be in a wheelchair or may have really bad arthritis in their knees, or they're a little older, and they may be a little embarrassed to go to the gym because they don't feel that they're as strong as everybody. What types of things, what advice do you give those types of clients?
That's, you know, difficult, Doc, because everybody, like you said, when you examine these people, you know exactly what their problem is. When you mentioned the ailments that they may have, I will have to know what they can do and what their limitations are before I can even recommend anything for them. But for a person that's fully capable of doing something, I would say start out with a video. If you like to dance, dance. You know, if you like to play games, they got these Wii's and they got these other little games out. Do something that makes your body move. So that way you start getting after, you get your heart rate up. And the main thing, while you don't change how you eat. Say if you cheating 5 times a day, say, I'm going to cut it down to 2 times a day till you can get it down to 1 day. You just got to do something, and you got to start working towards a goal. I think you got to write down first, if you're at a certain weight, you're at a certain BMI, you got to write down what's healthy for you and what's comfortable to you and work towards that goal. But don't do it sort of to the extreme that it burns you out. You got to still be able to live life, but still be able to, you know, work towards your goal.
In part of your program, do you also teach your clients in regards to their nutrition? Because I know that's huge in my treatment of people with high blood pressure and diabetes and high cholesterol. And often patients are frustrated in taking pills. And I always say, hey, you got to meet me halfway. I mean, you can do this without pills if you're willing to make the necessary sacrifices as far as changing your life, changing your eating, and getting more active. Do you find the same thing?
Yeah, this year has been an educational year because I got clients that are going vegan. I got some vegetarian. And I had to, from going from the old school way when it was, you know, people, they did their vegetables, baked, grill, or broil, their food, the chicken the same way, or they did the carbohydrates. The carbohydrates are simple stuff like sweet potatoes, brown rice, oatmeal. They started moving towards more grain, so I had to learn a lot more about more grain. I had to learn how to take, and mine's is to the extreme because I got vegan and vegetarian going into competitive shows. So I got to find the right proper amount of protein for them to take to build lean muscle, to lean out. So, yeah, one shoe doesn't fit all.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to know exactly what's going to work for that person's lifestyle. Because when you have them going and checking a list, the food they eat, a lot of people don't eat a lot of the same stuff. So it's just.
What do you mean by that?
So if you have a list of all kind of carbohydrates, all kind of protein, all kinds of vegetables. You know, a lot of them don't eat the same kind of vegetables. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. So everybody just like different things. And you just got to find what fits for that person and put an eating regimen together for that person.
And for the holidays, do you give them special meal plans during the holidays or just how do you handle that?
Well, I have a group. We do a group text, Doc, with a lot of my clients and a lot of competitors right now. And they have been holding each other accountable. And we have all agreed probably 6 months ago to have one cheat meal a week, even myself. I've had one or something I want. I don't think about it. I don't, you know, try to say, oh, this got this in it. If I want to taste it, I'll do the same thing. But we all have great work ethics when that Monday starts. My people treat Monday, okay, it's a work week for me to go to work, and it's a work week for me to work on my body. So we have all committed to stand on this program 5 days a week, and the results has been amazing.
Well, that's awesome. The key, it sounds like, is of course, being educated, having a good leader and a captain, and having a team. That's awesome.
And,
awesome.
Yeah, you got it. You get, like I said, unfortunately, I've learned that some people still try to do the things they did when they was in their 20s. And I don't, you know, for those that are not in their 20s, you know, your metabolism slows down. You don't burn this food off like you used to. You find now that the ones that were the cheerleaders and the best looking athletes, sometimes you run into them clearly, they are the worst.
That's right.
And the ones that wasn't the worst seem to have took that physical life to a different level.
Right.
So it just all depends on the person and what they're looking for.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like during these holidays, we should have a meal and just eat that day. That is key, critical.
Oh, my God, it's critical.
Because we can eat from Halloween till Super Bowl easily and doing it all wrong. And I think our listeners got a lot of good tips and a lot of good strategies. For our listeners, if they want to get in contact with you or come to the gym and meet you and start training, can you give us your information?
Sure. First, I would say, guys, find your accountability partner. Life is short. You have one vehicle, and in the Bible it says your temple. It is your temple. Once it starts deteriorating on you, you can't buy these parts. These parts, you either got them or you don't have them. So all I can say, take it into the new year, guys. Put God first. Put your health second. And all the rest will work itself out. You can contact me at ultimatebodiesbycarlos.com, or you can go to, you can give me a call, direct call if you need any information, 404-872-3887. That's 404-872-3887.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us today for The Checkup. I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton. You can listen to this program again on demand at WCLK.com. I can be reached at the Shelton Hospitalist Group, located at 315 Boulevard Northeast in Atlanta, or by phone at 678-705-2355. Or you can like us on Facebook at Shelton Hospitalist Group. The Checkup is produced by Dr. Courtney Shelton, Janice Shelton, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. Thanks for listening.